Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brother Otis.
It's good to see you. Glad you're here today. And pray that more will be out next Sunday and Sunday after that. And we continue to grow back in the sanctuary with our church family and those in Facebook land. We appreciate you as well. Just remember to pray for our church family. Many that are in our church, but they have a lot of relations in their families that are sick and having surgeries and broken bones and just part of living. And that's going to be as long as we're alive. So do remember to continue to pray for the Christy Love family and for those that are on our prayer list that are sick and those that are on our prayer list for salvation.
Gene Rasnick's
and for Euless Rasnick, Gene Rasnick's brother-in-law passed away. They're a family that lives over in Stickleyville area. So remember that family and many others that are on our prayer list, and Pastor may mention others later, but let's begin this morning. We have books. We place books out. I'm going to take this mask down.
Freshly Lysoled.
They're freshly sprayed and clean. So if you don't have a book, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Everybody has a book? Okay, turn to page 407. If you want to stand, that's fine. If you just want to sit and relax and enjoy being in back in the sanctuary, either way you want to do it is fine with us. But 407, Because He Lives.
Thank you.
Good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Just to let you know, a few announcements here and just a few reminders. Just to give you a couple numbers last week, first time we've been back in the building for quite a while. We had 60 people in here, another 10 out in the parking lot. We still got some folks there, praise the Lord. And we had 33 signed in on Facebook to watch. So I want to thank the Lord for that this morning. That's good. So just to let you know, Satan was working this morning, computer wasn't working, now it's working, so thank you, Lord, for that too. The songbooks were disappeared this morning, so we thank the Lord that he's still in control. And just a couple of reminders here this morning. Again, we're going to continue to do the in-church broadcast on 88.1 and on Facebook, so you can be in the building or in the parking lot and still hear the service. For the foreseeable future, beginning at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday night, we're going to work at, it's 5 or 6?
6.
6 for Sunday night services, and it'll be Facebook Live. So 6 o'clock there, and then Awana's going to continue to do their online services as well, beginning at 5 p.m. on Sunday night. So let's continue to remember that. I think I'd heard they had around 30 or so that attended, so praise the Lord for that too. So we're all adapting to this. And then Wednesday night, just to clear up everything, we will be having in-building services again on Wednesday as well. They'll be beginning at 6, so you're going to have the option to come inside the building or, again, stay outside.
Can
so.
I add one yep. thing to that? God willing, we're going to also be picking back up our business meetings on Wednesday nights. As you know, I've been doing the What Does the Bible Say About It study with Brother Tim and Brother Scott. We're going to try to keep that once a month, but we will let you know, and that will be Facebook Live only as of right now, unless we rotate churches, but we'll let you know. But 6 p.m. Wednesday night.
Thank you, Pastor. And then also, too, since we've all been kind of in and out of the building here for the last little bit, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we set a basket out there. If you'd like to put a card or a gift or anything in there for our pastor, we really appreciate what he's done. He's really had to work a lot behind the scenes since March, as we all have. And so we want to just thank him for what he's done here, and the Lord leading him to continue to be able to have service here. So, we're very thankful for that, because there's a lot of churches. I tell you, we're just blessed here. Because everything that we're talking about doing, the Lord put together over a year ago with this church. And I'm so thankful that we'll be able to broadcast. We had a camera. You couldn't buy a camera after March 3rd to do these kind of things. The broadcasting system as well. So the Lord's just blessed us, and he's put us in a position to continue to open the church and have his word go out. So we're so thankful for that. And then I apologize. Brother Otis may have mentioned this as he was mentioning people to remember in prayer, and I was out fiddling around with the speakers, and I apologize if you heard this, but definitely remember the Carter and the Love family, but also remember, too, Jeremy's, those of you that don't know, Jeremy's been called up for a year in the National Guard, and he's deploying today, so just remember him. He's going to be deployed in Texas for the next year, so just remember him as well. So with everything that he's had to endure the last few weeks, let's just remember him and his prayers. He's anxious to be with his team down there and leave on the same day. So just remember Jeremy as well. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll just ask him to continue to bless our service this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are just thankful and excited to be back in your house this morning, Lord. And we're just thankful that you've blessed us, and through your will that you've allowed us to continue to broadcast here and have church, and we're so thankful for that, Lord. And we just thank you for that in advance. We thank you for all those who work behind the scenes here, Lord, to continue to have this services go out. And we thank you, Lord, that we can just be here this morning and listen to your word. We ask you to open our hearts this morning, Lord, that we read the scriptures that you put on Brian's heart this morning as we follow along, and that you would just speak to us individually, Lord, of what direction you would have us to go in our life, Lord, and that if there be something here, Lord, that's causing a hindrance in our relationship, that this would be the morning we would come to the altar or just bow our head and just ask for repentance, Lord, and give it to you so that we can grow, Lord, and that you would just give us the peace that we need during these times, Lord. And we just ask also that you be with our country as we head towards election, Lord, that you would just help us to look at the candidates, no matter where they're from or who, what party they're with, Lord, and see what they claim is lining up with your word, Lord, and that we would vote accordingly. And we thank you, Lord, again for all that you've done for us, and we just thank you for these services. And in Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
As Brother Otis is coming to lead us in another song, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13.
If you'll look in your songbook, this next song is 227, Praise Him, Praise Him. That's what we came here today to do.
Amen.
Not to be seen or to be heard, but to praise Him, because He is so worthy of our praise. We can never praise Him enough and say enough for what He did for us by dying and going to the cross and taking your sin and my sin, not for a little while, but forever. Your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. And yes, we'll all have future sins, because I sin daily. But I have to ask for forgiveness daily. I have to repent daily.
Amen.
And Paul, the great writer in the New Testament, said, I sin daily. So nobody's exempt from sinning. Sinning doesn't mean you're not saved, but it does mean you need to reestablish your relationship with Christ. But this praise song comes from Psalms 448 and 1. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Psalms 48, verse 1. Let's turn to that if you have your book. If you don't, you can sing from memory or just hum along with us. Make a joyful noise.
Thank you. Nancy. It's good to see all of you this morning. So glad you've made the effort to come out. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. It has been a different week. As a friend, family, member of our church, Sister Christy, went on into eternity. We want to be praying for them. Also, Brother Kay, Jesse, and Sister Vanessa's mother-in-law, she had fallen and broken her hip and had surgery yesterday. Want to pray for her. Also, the Robert Quillen family. He passed away, I believe it was Friday, and we want to pray for them. And then also, Euless Rasnick family, want to pray for them. And then also, just a special prayer need this morning. Can lift up Brother Eli Stewart and the family this week as you pray, okay? But it's good, as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's good to be in the house of God with you. There is something that happens when brothers and sisters in Christ gather together, and the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness from breast unto breast. It's great to meet online, and it's great to be out there in the parking lot, but there's something being in a place that has been, I'm going to use the word and then explain it, sanctified, or basically set apart for Him and Him alone. For Christ and Christ alone. And then everyone that gathers here, Lord willing, today, I pray that you've come, one, to worship Him, to declare His worth as you're turning to 1 Corinthians 13, to declare His priority in your life, His supremacy in your life. But also I pray you've came to give, that we bring something. Remember, when Jesus was born, the first ones that came to see Him as He aged up a little bit, the Magi, they brought Him something. The Bible says that any hopes that we have of earning any type of rewards, as you turn to 1 Corinthians 13 for eternity, the crowns or whatever it may be, the Bible says that when we receive them, we're immediately toss them back to His feet because He alone is worthy of it. And you know today, you may be the most rich and have the most talented voice, and you may have the best homes and cars, but you know what He wants today? He wants your love. You see, He's already showed us His love on the cross. The Bible says in Romans it was made manifest, or it was revealed, it was put on display. Let me ask you this today. That's how Jesus, and I don't know where this is coming from, to be honest with you, okay? That's how Jesus displayed His love. Today, how are you in response going to display your love to Him? Now, see, a while ago, I tried to kiss my wife out there in the vestibule, and she wouldn't lower her mast. And I had to kiss her through the mast. But, you know, I wanted to display my love for her. How do we display our love for Christ Jesus? What do we do? Well, guess what the topic's going to be today? Hint, hint. Love, exactly. And I want to say good morning to everyone on Facebook. God bless you. I was able to spend a little time, me and Brother Wayne, this week with one of our faithful Facebook viewers, our media member, you might say, Sister Pam and Sister Bull, and was able to be with them. But we don't take you for granted either. It is good to be back here in the church as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But we also know that there's a place for Facebook. We're glad you're watching. We're thankful you're watching. And for those of you that share us, we're thankful for that. I ask you to continue sharing. But we want to remind you of three things. If you don't remember anything else about today's service, that is that no one loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than we could ever imagine. Amen? All right, if you found 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to ask you to stand with me in honor of God's Word. If you're capable, if you're not, God understands and so do we. But if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be this: Living Out Christ's Love. Living out the love of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with, done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Living out Christ's love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as you're being seated today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for even as I got here this morning, the rain was coming down, but Lord, you've already changed the situation. God, I'm thankful not only can you change the situations in our life, but you're able and in control of all of our situations. And as we were singing, Because You Live, when it said it, how sweet it is to know that the newborn baby can face tomorrow. God, I just want to say it's good to know because I can face tomorrow. I can face this afternoon. I can face right now. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And so, Lord, today I confess to you my sins. I confess to you my failures. I invite you, sweet person of the Holy Spirit, to come in here, take your word, move in our hearts and our minds, and let us be willing to leave here different than we came in. Father God, I know, Heavenly Father, I'm not worthy of this calling, but I ask you to work right now, not only in our building, but through Facebook and whatever means you choose. And if someone need to be saved today or rededicate, that today will be the day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Most of you know this chapter very well. In fact, it's called the love chapter, as we've read. And what you see here is basically some characteristics and some traits that love displays, that love possesses. But last week, we spoke about God's faith and how it enables us to go out and live, not just simply exist and sit in home all day long or sit in church all day long, but because we have faith that God is in control, God is in the supreme authority, and that He wants the best for us as His children, then we can go out and live our life knowing that He places all the responsibility on Himself as long as we are living for Him. Amen? And we can go out and we can live that life based on faith. We have a not just a living faith because Jesus is alive, but we have a living faith because we know He's alive, and that makes us engage in the life that He would have us to live. But this morning I want to talk, I feel led by the Holy Spirit, to talk about the love of Jesus. Not just the love of Jesus, but how the love of Jesus is expressed from us to those around us. Now, a few weeks ago, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 27, and how that the resurrection is not only for Easter, but it is the hinge point of all our reality, of all our religion, that because one day Jesus Christ arose from the grave and walked out of that grave alive, that is why we have the faith and the hope that we have today. And, you know, we kindly... around here at TV, at Thomas Village Baptist Church, we have some sayings. Maybe it's not the church, but maybe it's me as a pastor. I have some sayings. One of them is kind of new, and that is that the tomb is empty, because praise God, that is the hinge point of our religion. That is the hinge point of my faith, that I believe He arose on that third day. But also we have another one, and you've probably heard Brother Tim talk about it, but it's prayer changes things. How? I don't know. Why? I don't know. But I'm told that the prayers of a righteous man avails a lot, or it changes a lot. It affects a lot. And then the other one, you know this one. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. You see, what those sayings are based on is they're based on truth. And those are truths that we hold fast to. And God helped bring that to my attention this week and to Brother Wayne. Like I said, we had an opportunity to spend some time with some members this week. Wonderful visit. Sat around probably 30 or 40 minutes talking. And as we got ready to go, and Brother Wayne will witness this, they looked up at me and this is what they said. Nobody loves you like Jesus. And the tomb is empty. And this is what they said. They said, when I'm having my worst days, I can say those things and I can hold on. Praise God. You see, that's what those truths are. The truth. Why do we know the tomb is empty? Because, praise God, the disciples saw that it was empty and that the grave clothes were laid there and his headdress was laid there. And then a few hours later, they literally saw him with their very own eyes. How do we know that Jesus loves you? Nobody has done for us what Jesus has done on the cross. And so today I want to talk about the fact that that love and truth of Jesus, not only has it affected our lives, we've got saved, but every day it has an impact on our life. It encourages us, it uplifts us, it moves us. And here's the thing, that very love is supposed to impact the world around us as well. The love that has impacted our life is to move through us to the world around us. It's supposed to engage with the world around us on a daily basis. You see, we live our lives to the glory of Jesus Christ and to His Father, and we do that through loving. A few weeks ago, I talked about how some examples on how when we talked about, especially in the middle of this COVID-19 mess. Now today we're not going to talk about that, but I want us to look at the traits that the Bible says love will possess. Meaning that if we're living our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ that is in us, then these traits of love should be living out in our lives. Amen? I mean, I'm just looking here in Scripture. Listen, Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. You know this Scripture. It says, and He, Jesus, said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important of commandments. And the second is like unto this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets are hung up on these. Again, every day as believers, we are to show and to express the love of Jesus Christ to those around us, so that His love and truth will impact their lives more and more, and perhaps they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, this is a good thing. They talk about, well, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a preacher, I'm not anything like that. Well, praise God, maybe you're not, but the Bible says that we can do almost the same thing by the way we love others. Didn't He say that? He says, they will know you. That not only will they know you, but they're going to know you mine by the way you love the people around you. As most of you know, we've had beloved friends and family of Thomas Village and Duffield pass on into eternity. But at the same time, I've been getting ready to do four weddings. Already did one wedding. If the next three go that good, it's going to be a good month. Amen. So I've studied for a funeral, studied for weddings, and I've studied for our regular devotions and study time. And the Holy Spirit he didn't literally say this, but He kind of spoke to me and He says, these are the everyday events where my love is needed. Weddings, funerals, schools, jobs, grocery stores, everywhere. That's where we're to show this love. Even from the way we interact with the waitress at our table at a restaurant. That's an opportunity for the love of God to be revealed in our lives. Not many of them will let you say, what's your name? Can we play blessings over you? Some will, though, and if you ask them, they'll stand right there with you as you do the blessing with them. But they can't run from a Jesus loves you. And here's a good tip, not because you deserve it, but because we love you. You see, this passage that we look here, as Paul is talking about love, it's actually about the issue of spiritual gifts and the use of spiritual gifts. And in this church at Corinth, they were having some division and some things like that. But in this, what we see about love is that, one, love is superior. There is nothing greater than love. But then we also see the character of love. Now, in the King James, and you know I'm King James by preference, but I also like my Christian standard. The King James here uses the word charity. But if you go back into the Greek word here where it says charity never fails, all that, every time you see charity, the Greek word is agape, which is the root word of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, agapeo. It basically is the idea of putting oneself aside so that another may be benefited. I want to read this passage, verses 4 through 7 out of the Christian Standard. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love is not boastful, love is not arrogant, love is not rude, is not self-keeping, is not irrational, does not keep a record of wrongs, love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but joy rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never ends, or as the King James says, love never fails. And most of the time where you and I will hear this passage read is where? At a wedding. Usually that's where, and believe you me, I might add some of this into the things I require before I perform weddings. And beyond all means, love is needed within a marriage. I mean, it's hard. You've got to have love. But as Paul wrote this passage again, who is he writing it to, keeping in context? He's not writing it to two lovers that are about to engage in giving vows to one another. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ and how they are to relate to one another and how they relate to the lost and dying world around them. In other words, he is telling them that we are to live out the love of Jesus Christ as we go. Loving others as Jesus loved them. And that's who we are. When we say that we're Christian, we say that we are the imitators of Christ. So what I believe that the Spirit would have us to do, Paul provides us with the way that love is here in this passage. How love will reveal itself in our lives. Also, how love engages, interacts, and is expressed to others that we meet. It is how the love of Jesus is shared in the world we live in now. So here's what I believe the Holy Spirit has already asked me to do, and I've done it. And I pray that you'll do the same this morning. As we listen to Paul presenting love, its characteristics, and how it's expressed, why don't we just ask the Holy Spirit to say this morning, Holy Spirit, show me if this characteristic of love is in my life. And if it's not, why isn't it? Lord, show me. Because I want your love to be lived out in my life. And these are the characteristics. This is the way it's expressed and engaged in our society. So that means I need to be displaying this on my everyday basis. So let's just be honest. Holy Spirit, right now, check me out. Shine a light in my soul. See, there's 15 traits or characteristics of love. So basically what we're going to do is we're just going to go verse by verse. Let's look at the first one. King James says that love suffers long. So basically what the term in the Greek is that love is patient. Means that love is willing to bear with others regardless of the circumstances. No matter the evil, no matter the injury. Now, if there is evil going on, we should report the evil and have it to stop. But patience recognizes the situation and tries to deal with the individuals within that situation with love. And it doesn't matter if that individual has ignored us. It shouldn't matter that they've snubbed us. It shouldn't even matter that the only time they come around us is for their benefit or something like that. How many times is the only time we pray was when we come to Jesus because we want Him to be like a genie in a bottle? But you know He's there. Every time we bow our knee, He's there. You see, love is patient. Love bears long. And matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that patience is a fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians. So how do you, let me ask you this. If I asked somebody about you today, if I said, is Brother Paul Arwood a patient person? Now, Brother Paul Arwood is probably the most patient person I believe I've ever met in my life. I wonder what they would say if you asked, is Brian Gunner the most patient person? Because, see, we can view ourselves one way, but what if we was to ask our friends? How do they view us? Do they see the love of Christ in our patience? Love is kind. It means that love is courteous, merciful, and good. It shows favor even when favor is not warranted. And kindness is not a quid pro quo. You do this for me and then I'll do it for you. No, kindness is to do something, one, not expecting to get anything back, and doing it not because you want anything back, but it's doing it just because of love. How many times has Jesus been kind to you and I? He even said over in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, He says, do good to those who hate you. What's the natural mentality when somebody does you wrong? Watch out, big boy. Watch out. You got a double portion coming. It is. But listen what it says. If the love of Jesus is in us, see, we like to focus on drug addicts, don't we? And we like to look at adulterers and all that. But see, when you get closer to Christ and you get closer to God and you want to be more like Him and you begin to compare yourself with Him and not the world around you, then we can say it's nitpicking, but it's not. It's chipping rock away so that we become in the image of our Savior. Patience. Kindness. How many of us really wake up in the morning and we pray, Lord, show your love through me today, through my patience and kindness. But what is our Savior known for? Long-suffering, mercy, kindness. Are you a courteous, merciful, and good person? Or would you be defined as mean, difficult? This makes you think, don't it? You say, shut up, preacher, now. We'll go to the house right now. No, I got to preach on sin sometimes, right? He says, love does not envy. Envy here is the idea of being jealous of another person's possessions, positions, or popularity. Love does not allow what I lack and what you have keep us apart. Matter of fact, I should be thankful for what you got. That God is blessing you and benefiting you with that. I've seen this happen in a church. I've seen a family come into the church who God blessed and put them on the higher scale of financially of the way they were living, and the church rejected them. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. And you know, we've got good excuses too. We can say their attitude's bad. They're spoiled. They was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They're stuck up. They think they're too good. When really what it is a problem with our heart. So, is there somebody you're jealous of right now? You begrudge them just a little bit because I know Amy's got a good-looking husband, but you don't have to be jealous of her. Love is not boastful, meaning that it's not conceited. Meaning that love does not seek recognition. It doesn't seek applause from others. Nor does it brag about what it does. Think about it. True love points somewhere else. What did Jesus do? Jesus pointed back to the Father. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. That's love. It's not boastful, not proud. It's kind. It's good. Listen, it goes on to say it's not arrogant. Boastful and arrogancy are tied close together. Arrogancy is an attitude of a person that sees themselves as elite. They're better than others. They deserve special treatment. They deserve recognition because they're different. Everybody else might have to do it like this, but not me. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before the fall, and a haughty spirit or a puffed up spirit, which the King James says here, love is not puffed up. To the contrary, love recognizes that all that the individual is because of Christ. I've got a saying, I don't know if you've ever heard me say it, but if you ever hear anything bad about me, I did it all. But if you ever hear anything good about me, it's all because of Him. Look there in verse 6, it says, love is not rude. King James says it does not behave itself unseemly. Rudeness means to act in a way that is unbecoming or without manners, a lack of self-control, discipline, to be out of order. We want to say sometimes that they may be they're just how we speak to people, how we act with our body, the tone of our voice. See, and I believe in speaking the truth, amen. And we live in a society that's a little soft in the britches right now, and sometimes when you speak the truth, they get a little upset with it. But I've recognized with myself, because of my voice, my tone and my volume sometimes can override the truth that I'm trying to speak. But we need to consider the individual we're dealing with and that their value is the same in the eyes of Christ as ours. That's what love does. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever asked yourself, am I a rude person? Do others find me rude? Have I been known to cause a scene? Love's not rude. Love's not arrogant. Love's not boastful. Love's not envious. He moves on in verse 5, and he asks, he says, love is not self-keeping, or it does not seek its own. Basically, love is not selfish. Love does not insist on its own personal rights. I think that happens a lot in marriages when two can't work together. You've got one saying it's got to be my way, the other one saying it's got, I don't care what situation it is. But when you've got two saying, it's got to be my way, I'm always right. It's hard. You've got to be willing to put others before yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. No one should seek his own good, but the good of another person. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Everyone should look out not only for their own interest, but for the interest of others. You think about Jesus. Jesus Christ came seeking and meeting the needs of humanity. Not his own. He's completely rejected the nature of man. That selfishness and that I've got to be satisfied first and then everybody else can be satisfied after that, but as long as I am first. The natural thing is to put self first. But as Christians, we are no more to follow the natural man. We have been given a new creature in Christ. We have been given a new life in Christ. And that means, as Christ, on a daily basis, we make the effort to put others before ourselves. You see, we're getting to the nitty-gritty about a deep relationship with our Savior right now. We can talk about all the other religious acts. We can be moral. We can look good and all that. But we can be rude at heart. We can be arrogant at heart. We can be selfish at heart. And nobody else will, because we can wear that religious mask well. But Jesus knows us. And if we want to get close to Him, these are the things we got to start dealing with. This is when the love... You ever met those people that you've met them? And I'm going to brag a little bit because I think I got the best daddy preacher in the world. And sometimes I look at him and there's almost like a glow comes off of him. He's got serious... You know what he tells me? He says, son, every day I realize less and less. I realize more and more how less and less I deserve God's grace. Love is... not self-seeking. It puts self first. You want to something sober. I can ask you, are you selfish or anything like that? Let me ask your spouse. I did. I have asked mine a time or two. I didn't like the answer. Love's not selfish. It's not irrational. Irrational here means it's not easily provoked or quick-tempered. You know, some of those people we would say, well, they're just a little bit touchy. They're just a little bit moody, okay? It really means to be easily offended. Some people like to get mad. They do. They just like to fuss. There's a time when I had a quick temper. And I'm not saying I got a long temper now, but I'm saying it's not as short as it once was. A lot of licks had to happen, God dealing with that. But listen, love is not touchy, moody, or easily offended. Consider the life of Jesus. They disrespected him. They had schemes and lied on him. They tried to trip him up. They took him to a kangaroo court. They spit in his face, mocked him, plucked his beard, did all that. Never once did we see him rise up in anger. Only time we really know he got angry was when they misused his father's house. And there's a time, we saw this Wednesday night, there's a time to be angry. I think right now we need to be angry that the devil's trying to take over our country, and we need to rise up and get right. And a part of it is dealing with the little issues, which are actually the big issues. Meaning we draw closer to him. So be honest right now. How easy is it to push your buttons? Amy knows my combination. She can poke them just right and get me just good. Love does not keep record of wrongs. This is one I really try to deal with in a marriage. Because when it talks about keeping record of wrongs, love allows the past to stay in the past. You know what? Sometimes we like low-hanging fruit when we're fussing with people. And what we'll do is we'll reach back and we'll say, well, you remember you spent the rent money. And you know what? That low-hanging fruit, you can use it. Brother John, you can win the fight. But you can cut love off. I tell you, listen to these scriptures. Listen to these scriptures right here. Psalms 103.1, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hebrews 8.12, for I will be merciful to their wrongdoing and I will never again remember their sins. Peter denied Christ and abandoned him at his most difficult time. David, an adulterer and a murderer. Noah, a drunken fool. But God says, I'll never again bring them up to you. I'll never use it to hurt you. I'll never throw it in your face. Because it's in the past and it's over with it. You know what? I'm not going to let any of them interfere with mine and your relationship anymore. And you see, I'm not talking about just your spouse. We'll do it to coworkers. We'll do it to our children. Do it to our parents. Look, people love to do it to their parents. Well, my daddy didn't love me properly. That's why I'm screwed up. But see, that's what love does. Love's willing to say. Now, if maybe there may be a time when a teachable moment's there or whatever, but it's never used to damage a relationship. Never. Never. Let me ask you this. Do you use other people's failures and inadequacies to win arguments and build yourself up? Jesus would never do it. He loves us too much. Ain't that good? He loves us too much. There's many things I regret in my life, and the devil throws them at you. He does them to you too. But Jesus says, come to me. Because there is no condemnation. I won't throw it back up. He says, and I'm not going to spend time here, but in verse 6, he says, this is the 10th one. He says, love finds no joy in unrighteousness, meaning that love takes no pleasure in doing what is wrong, specifically in the eyes of God, but also in the relationship. In a marriage, love will do its best to quickly dismiss an adulterous thought or rethink how to say a phrase that would not be harmful. In a business, love does not enjoy stealing or pondering away the partner's money or earning money that you've promised to be working by sitting around or whatever. It enjoys doing what is right. If the love of Jesus, then we're going to want to do what's right in our relationships. He says love is truthful. This is why human relationships are so hurtful for many people. Because what happens is when we go into the love relationship, we expect truth from our partner. We expect truth from the relationship. And what happens? They lie or something happens. And then, praise God, many people try to move on from that point by believing again. But praise God, the perfect love of Jesus Christ, He will never, never hurt us by lying to us. He will never not do what He has said. And so that's the way we should try to live our life, by being truthful. And you know what? When we come to Christ and confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and we move on from there. And that's what being truthful is. Somebody comes back to us, now are we to be ignorant? No. But we rejoice in the truth. Now, Paul kindly wraps up this description of love here in verse 7. He said, love bears all things. Meaning, basically, that love holds up under the pressure and weight of all situations. All annoyances, all difficulties, all storms, love can hold up underneath it. True love, the love of Christ, that agape love. It says love believes all things, meaning that it's eager, just as we talked about it was truthful. It's eager to believe. It wants to believe. It tries to understand the circumstances and accept them and move ahead in trust, not expecting to be lied to, not being scared that around every corner somebody's trying to use you or lie to you, that you just go into it and you do it. Why? Because of love. Love hopes in all things. Love is an optimist. Love never stops believing that victory is around the corner and that our very best is around the corner. Love knows that ultimately, based on the truth of God's Word, that good will triumph over evil, and He has made us promises in that as well. It says love endures all things. The word endure here is a military word that means to stand firm under the attack of the enemy. Love is strong. Love is ready to fight. Love is willing to struggle, and praise God, in Jesus' name, love wins. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I think of the love that Jesus has shown for humanity. It has won the victory over death, hell, the grave, and the battle for all eternity on behalf of whosoever will. That's what love has done. And then Paul, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but Paul goes through here and he begins to put things in focus. He's talked about the characteristics of love, the way that it's displayed. It's not boastful, it's not prideful, it doesn't insist on its own way, it's not rude, it's strong. Then he begins to talk about the spiritual, and he begins to talk about the spiritual gifts and how that they'll fade away. And how that no matter how much on this side of the earth, on this side of eternity, we're still going to only see foggy a bit when it comes to God and the way He does things. It's going to have a little bit of haze, it's going to be a mystery there. But even in that, as I grow, I'm to mature. I'm to behave more and more. But you know what? There's going to come times where I can't answer the questions. The clarity and the wisdom will not be complete until eternity. So there's going to be time we cannot give answers that are rock solid or have all the answers people want. But we do know this. Look there in chapter 13, verse 8, the first one. Love what? Never ends. King James Version says fails. The word in the Greek here is pipto. P-I-P-T-O. It means that love never falls short. Love never ceases. Love never becomes inadequate, and love can never be destroyed. On into eternity, love will continue. The love of Christ that He has for you and I is perfect and complete, and it will carry us on into eternity and all the promises that Christ has made, that He's going to give us a new body, that we're going to have a new home, we'll be reunited with our loved one. All of that is sealed in His love. And hey, praise God, look what it goes on to say. It says, of these three, look at it. It says, Verse 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know there's coming a day where faith will be no more. Revelations 1:7 says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, including those who pierced him, and all the families of the earth will mourn over him. This is a certainty. Amen. You know what? In that moment, faith's over. It is no longer faith, it is reality, because all eyes have looked upon him. For the Christian, it will be the best day of our life. For the unbeliever, it's a day of sorrow and regret. But faith will no longer be a need. What about hope? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, and we are confident and steadfast to be out of the body is to be at home with the Lord. Praise God, the day we leave our body or either He returns, the hope of a Savior will no longer be there, a hope of an eternity, a hope of a home in heaven. It will no longer be hope, but it will be our reality for an eternity. But guess what? Through all of that, love will remain. I was loved the day that I was formed in my mother's womb. I was loved the day that Jesus died upon the cross. I was loved the day when He rose again. And you know what? Billions and billions and billions of years from now, I'll still be loved by the same love that drove Him to the cross. And you know what? It is that same love that we're to be expressing to the world around us. Maybe not preaching with our mouths, but loving with our words. I'm not bragging on myself, but me and Mom and Daddy, we used to eat at, what was that one in Blackshear? Oak Plaza. Oak Plaza Hotel. And I went in there one day, and the table was dirty. That was where everybody went to, you know. That was where you went. It was buffet style. And you went in there. And I took the rag because the waitress was backed up, and I wiped down the table, and she said, you remember this? She said, I really appreciate you doing that. Do you know that most people don't do it, and especially on Sunday, I get my most rudest people. What was she looking for? Jesus. Jesus in those. And what did she say? She said, they didn't express love, they expect rudeness. She wasn't looking for a sermon, but she got one. But love will continue. So, how you doing on the test? Ask yourself these. Am I living out Jesus' love every day? Are people receiving Christ's love from me every day? Do others see the love of Jesus in me every day? But the greatest of these is love. The Greek word for great is mega. The megaest of these is love. The largest, the most important, the most astonishing. I think about all that love has done. Love brought me and her together and gave me them too. Love caused her to put up with too much stuff she shouldn't have had to put up with. It causes people that don't know other people to give their livers and their kidneys and things like that. Love drove men to build our country. But it drove a cod to robe himself in his creation, to live a perfect life, and then take the punishment of all his creation, but then rise up in victory. Love is amazing. Love is amazing. And you know what? While God has given us his pure love, his perfect love, we can't extend that because we are human. A lot of those questions I asked, I failed the test, I'd have to admit. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? This afternoon's a new afternoon. If I'm His child, He lives within me. And that means He wants to love through me. And if I'll be willing to look at those questions, am I rude? Am I jealous? Am I prideful? Am I boastful? You know what He'll do? He'll point them out and He'll say, next time you're in a restaurant, acknowledge the waitress, maybe even call her by name. When you're walking out of the grocery store, tell them Jesus loves them. Maybe you just get somebody on your mind and you need to call them up. Less on self. He must increase. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase. And all these characteristics, the Spirit will begin to work them through you if you recognize self there and then say, I don't want that no more. And you know what? You can go out of here loving. Remember I asked you today, I said, what you going to give to Him? How you going to worship Him? What if today you said, Lord, I'm going to give You my life and I'm going to do my best to love the world around me the rest of this day in Your name? If you've already given Your life, He's your Savior and your Lord. Today I'm going to love like You would love. I'm going to try to be patient. I'm going to try to be long-suffering. Because see, here's the thing. If we're not trying to love like Jesus, then guess what? We may not be committing adultery. We may not be out there cheating on our taxes, but we're living in sin. We're living in sin. And so today, if you failed the test, welcome to the party. But I ask the Lord, teach me how to love. Let Your love be expressed in my life. Next thing is this. I just want to ask those of you that's watching by Facebook. I want to ask those of you that's in here. Have you ever been really loved unconditionally? To know that no matter what you do, no matter what happens in your life, not only will you be loved, but it'll never be thrown back up in your face. If you don't know what that is, I would love to show you how Jesus loves you. And so much He's done to show His love for you. And then when you experience that love, I do believe you're going to want others to experience that love in your life. So I'm going to ask our piano player, Sister Nancy, if she would, and Brother Otis, if they would come forward. Here's the invitation. Will you say today, Lord, I ain't been loving the way that You love. Matter of fact, I've had self on the throne a lot, but today I give You my life to love through me. And most importantly, though, if you never have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me today show you what that means. But the altar is open. Do you need to be saved? Will you come forward and say, Lord Jesus, love through me. Whatever your need is, won't you stand? And we've got extra altar space if you need it. Lord, love through me. Brother Otis.
571.
People's coming. What about you? You could be the key to another one coming.
Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You've given us this time together, that we can hear Your Word taught and preached to us about love, and that we, as the song said, let others see Jesus in us, and what we do and what we say, where we go, and how we act. We just ask You to be with us this week and watch over us, give us mercies and grace as You have in the past, and Lord, be with those who know you not as Savior. May your Spirit go out and touch their lives, that they could be changed so they could look like you and be a Christian. And help us, Lord, to grow closer to you by not what we say, but what we do. And we just thank you for our church family, and we ask you to meet each need according to your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.